lots of enthusiasm and lots of loud songs where we're lifting our voices and we're praising God enthusiastically, because today we're coming just to think about our own relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Psalm 34, verses 7 to 8 reminds us, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." When I look at the weather, I kind of feel I want to just kind of curl up underneath a duvet or kind of sit by a fire. We kind of want to retreat, don't we? And sometimes when we look at our world and all that we're facing and we wonder how on earth it's going to unfold, we kind of want to do that too. Our fears and our worries can kind of come on top of us and we can just feel that it's just too much. But that verse in Psalm 34 reminds us that the angel of the Lord is going to deliver us. We are going to be blessed because we take refuge in him. We can indeed taste and see that the Lord is good and his love will endure forever. And we're going to be reminded of that as we have our first song, "See What a Morning." Isn't that great? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for that reminder that you have indeed risen from the dead. We thank you for that reminder that you have conquered death, that we will live with you in eternity. We thank you for that promise that it was on that Easter Sunday that all things came new. And yet you knew that from the beginning of time. We thank you that you are the God of the past, of the present, and of the future. We thank you that, Lord, we know through the many instances of this week that you have answered our prayers again and again and again. And that, Lord, we do not need to be afraid. And that, Lord, you do hear us and that you draw close to us. And that you are all that we need. And so we thank you, loving Heavenly Father, that you are our God. Our Father. Our Father who we can come to and call you our Daddy. And that, Lord, you have that intimate and deep relationship with us. Lord, help us this morning to open ourselves to you and all that you would say to us. We ask this in and through the loving name of your mighty Son, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. I'm continuing to read from Psalm 34, and I'm reading these next few verses from the Message version, and it says this: "Is anyone crying for help?" I don't know if that's you this morning. Have you been crying out for help? Well, listen to this. God is listening. God is ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you will find God right there. If you're kicked, he will help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble. It's true for me, as I'm sure it is for you, but the promise from the passage is God is there every time. He's our bodyguard, shielding every bone, and not even a finger gets broken. I don't know what kind of week you've had this week or what kind of week you're going into next week, but we have that promise that God is with us. We do not need to fear. And as we listen to and have the words of our next song, we are reminded that where we are, God is there too. Here I am. I wonder, when we think about our hands and we think about what we offer to God, do we offer to God our open hands, our hands where we say, "Here I am"? Or do we offer God hands that are sometimes clenched? Clenched because we feel burdened and we feel that we've got nothing left. Do we feel that we are so fearful, we kind of want to curl up inside? We have the opportunity with a piece of music now that was recorded by part of our worship team, just to just sit and to listen to the music. You'll recognize the refrain that goes through it. But there's that opportunity now. as we think about our own relationship with God, my relationship with God, your own relationship with God, just to maybe open our hands in a metaphorical sense, open our hearts, open our worries and our minds and our emotions, and just say to God this morning, here I am. Help me to be still before you. Help me to allow you to come in and still those anxieties and cares and worries. Help me to trust you. And so as this piece of music plays, I just invite you, just wherever you are, home or here, just to open your hearts and your minds and your hands to God and wait for him to speak to you. Thank you. Are you still? Do you know that he is our God? He's our Father. He loves us as his children. Well, Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of dawn. Nations are in uproars, kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the whole earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father God, maybe today was that first moment we've even had in the last few days of just silencing our hearts and our minds and our worries, and just being reminded that it is in you we can trust. It is within you from whom we can gain our peace. It is in you we can be still and give to you all things, because you are our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. And yes, we may look around our world and wonder what is going on, but Lord, we are reminded that we have you on our side. You are with us. You are our fortress, and we can exalt you because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, as we continue in our service today, help us to allow that sense of your being with us fill us and refill us and fill us when we leave too. Father God, we give you our hearts, our lives, our all this day. Amen. Our next song reminds us just what a great God we have. It's great, whether you're worshipping at home or here in this building, it's great that even if we're worshipping in another country, wherever we are, God is with us. And there's more than one opportunity to spend time with one another. And Hayley's going to come and share the other opportunities that we have week in, week out. Thank you, Hayley. Thank you, Hayley. And we say every time we are so grateful to each and every one of you who continue to give in a whole variety of ways, directly through the offering boxes, month by month on a direct debit. And for that, we do indeed give you our thanks. It's not for us. It's to enable God to undertake ministry here and across our world. And so we're going to say a moment of prayer now. And the details, if you want to give online via the website, is also an option for you. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you that we can give to you. And Lord, we recognize that actually all that we have is just a blessing from you, and what we seek to do is to bless you back. Father God, in all that we give, in the small and the out of our littleness or out of our plenty, Father God, it's about our hearts, and it's about the way that we give and what it is that we are giving to, and that is to you. You are a God who blesses us in abundance. Father God, help us in our giving to recognize that you are the God of all, and that, Lord, through our giving, you can do mighty things. We ask this in your name. Amen. And I'm conscious that the last few weeks I've been less good at doing this, so this is for all those people who keep telling me I have forgotten to wave. I am waving this morning, and I make sure I make a note for all those who send me a message saying, I didn't see you wave, but I have waved this morning. Bree is going to come and share God's word to us this morning, and it's two passages which she will give to us. Thank you, Bree. Thank you, Bree. And Ian's going to come and share further on those two passages. But before he does that, we're going to have another song, Speak, O Lord. And we've heard his words said to us this morning, and we're going to hear what he has laid on Ian's heart to share with us after we have sung our next song.
Good morning, and hopefully I am working. Am I going out? Yeah, that's fine. It's good to see you this morning, and it's good to be here on this communion service. I don't know about you, but I find we are still living in strange times, and just as I think I'm getting used to things, things are changing, and it's difficult. My discovery this week: my computer does not recognize me with a mask on. You see, my computer is geared that it will recognize my face, and only when it sees my face will it turn itself on. It doesn't do it when I've got a mask on. Well, you know, it all changes, isn't it? Another change is that we just can't get as close to people as we were able to. And that frustration when you meet somebody and you instinctively hold out your hand and then realize, no elbow, no, not even meant to do that now. It's that sense of we're not able to get close to people because of fear of passing on the virus. And, you know, we have just seen in the news this week how sensible it is to take precautions and not to take risks. But it's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's not what we like. We would much rather be able to go and see a friend and give them a hug and know it's safe to do so. We would much rather be able to shake hands and give somebody a great greeting, but we can't. It's difficult. It feels distant. And this morning I'm looking at the whole theme of intimacy with God. Being close to God. And maybe we have found our relationship with God has gone remote, like our relationship with other people. I want to invite you this morning, as in a while we're going to break bread, we're going to come into communion, to spend some time getting close to God. Many of you will remember the news story a few weeks ago of Daisy the dog. I think we're going to have a picture of Daisy the dog on the screen. There he is. Daisy the dog was a St. Bernard dog, and Daisy lives in Lincolnshire. Now, those of you who know Lincolnshire, my wife Vicky's family comes from Lincolnshire, so I've got to be careful what I say about Lincolnshire, but it's flat and boring. I mean, that was being careful. It's so flat and boring. You have to drive miles to practice a hill start in your car when you're learning to drive. There is just no hills. And Daisy the dog went on holiday with its owners, and they walked up Scar Fell. And Scar Fell in the lakes, as you know, is the highest mountain in England. on the way back down, and you remember St. Bernard's, they're meant to be the rescue dog. They're meant to come and rescue people. And on the way down, Daisy's legs, back legs apparently hurt so much that Daisy just stopped and refused to go any further. And at £121, it was not easy to move Daisy any further. And Daisy stopped and was going no further. The mountain rescue team had to be got to carry Daisy down the mountain. See, Daisy, thank you, the photo can go off now. Daisy was doing something that Daisy was not used to. And the pain got so much that Daisy had to stop. By the time the BBC TV cameras had got to their garden in Lincolnshire, Daisy was quite happy running around the garden again. But it was flat and boring. If you're watching this in Lincolnshire, my name is Vicky. All complaints to her. I wonder, is our pain so great at the moment that we need to stop? As we look at the different characteristics of God, we can sometimes forget the other aspects. And you know, we could be looking at sovereign God, almighty God, creator God, or God the judge. But today I want to talk about what it means to just come close to God, to be intimate within communion. And maybe your quiet times have had to change and you're struggling because you're feeling guilty that they weren't what they once were. You used to be able to get through the list of people you were praying for and your Bible readings and feel good, but actually at the moment you are struggling to do that, and you get halfway through and you think, I've had enough, I can't cope, I can't go on. And you just stop. Daisy was rescued by the mountain rescue team. Our God rescued us by his Son. And the Holy Spirit is there to pick us up. And I sense God saying to us as a people, and maybe to individuals here, stop fighting. Stop trying to prove yourself what you're not at the moment. Just stop and be close. Just stop and be rescued. Stop and be. Vicky read earlier in the service that psalm which has the "Be still and know that I am God." And maybe today it is a case of being still and just stopping and knowing. A young boy asked his father the question, "Dad, how big is God?" And his father looked up to the sky and pointed to an aeroplane and said, "Son, how big is that aeroplane?" And the boy said, "It's small. It's very small." Later that day, they ended up at an airport where they got close to an aeroplane. And the father said, "Son, how big is that aeroplane?" And the little boy said, "It's enormous." And the father says, "You ask me how big God is. The closer you get to him, the bigger he is." You might feel God is gone, moved away. But I want to invite you back, that you stop your fight, you stop your getting, you know, trying to prove yourself. Stop the guilt, stop the beating of ourselves up and recognize that the closer we get to God, the greater and greater He will be in our life, the bigger He will be. Be still and know God today. Let God come close. You come close to Him. And I am giving you permission as a pastor to stop doing your normal routine if you need to. There will be a time when it's right to go back to that. But right now, just be. Just be with God. And recognize God is your mountain rescue. He is the one who's going to come and rescue you from the place where you can't go any further and you need to stop. God will not leave you there. God will not abandon you there. God will come right to where you are, and He will lift you up and He will carry you to the place of safety. He will come close to you. And so we come to the theme of communion. And thank you, Bree, for reading those two long readings. The first, Matthew's account of the communion's moment where Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, and then Paul's account of the Corinthian church who got it all wrong and need to come back to the core of what this is about. The Passover meal was remembering what God had done in the past. It was a remembering that the Israelites were able to flee from Egypt and cross the Red Sea to a place of safety. God's rescue plan. And today, as Jesus went through the communion, He talked about God's new rescue plan. The God who rescues us. And the meal was remembering what God had done in the past, and Jesus was telling what God is about to do, and we today can recognize what God is about. It began with a meal. That's something else we miss, isn't it? Meals with friends. It's very hard not to be able to say, come around for a meal. Or shall we meet so-and-so and have a meal together? It's very hard. But Jesus here starts with a meal, an ordinary thing, remembering an extraordinary thing, but also reminding us and giving us a symbol to remember going forward. It began with a meal. But as the meal went on, there was an honest conversation. Do you notice when you're sitting and eating with friends, you talk? If you put your iPhones down and you put all the technology down and you just look at each other, suddenly conversation begins again. You start to talk about life and what you have been through. You might even get onto a bit of politics. Or you might talk about the state of the nation, and then you get to talking about how you're feeling and how those you both know are, and how the people you are missing are. Jesus, in this account that we have in Matthew's Gospel, was going through an ordinary conversation. We don't have the whole of the conversation recorded. You can imagine it, can't you? I mean, we only have, 5 minutes of the conversation here. Jesus, the meal would have gone on for ages. They'd have been talking about the day that had just been. And Peter, you've got a bit of something between your toes. And, you know, all those sorts of things are going on. And despite the photos, they wouldn't have all pictures that have been painted, they wouldn't have just been all sat down one side for social spacing. They'd have been on both sides of the table looking at each other. was conversation going on. There'd have been laughter. There'd have been intimacy. It began with a meal. It was an honest conversation. But truth was shared by Jesus. Truth was shared by Jesus. In the accounts of Matthew, in the accounts of the other Gospels, we see how Jesus speaks into the situation and starts to talk and says, "You know, one of you is going to betray me. Another, one's going to deny." And the disciples there arguing, and Jesus bringing out, "Come on, that's not the issue." There was truth being spoken by Jesus. And how we get worked up about the trivial and the irrelevant when Jesus is wanting to take us, but this is what I'm about. This is what's going to happen. And the disciples, they were quite happy when Jesus was talking about serious things to try and divert away from the real issue, the real moment. And maybe in our unwillingness to stop, our unwillingness to be rescued, is because we're wanting to divert a situation from the moment where it says, "Actually, I can't go on. I need to be rescued." And Jesus speaks truth into our lives where we are. In our communion today, will you allow truth to be spoken right into your life? Will you allow that intimacy with Christ, where he can speak in to your situation, where he can speak in to your life? Because as that meal went on, and as Jesus started to pick out the issues, vulnerability became real. The whole story finishes very quickly, really, in Matthew's Gospel, doesn't it? They've been going on, and Jesus has been talking about the new kingdom and what was going to happen, and then we just got. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And we all thought, when we heard Bree read that, lucky them, they sang a hymn. There was a journey going on. There was a journey going on. Are you open coming closer to God, seeing God get bigger and bigger in your life? Are you willing to be really honest with God and say, "I can't go on," and like Daisy the dog, stop moving and allow yourself to be rescued, restored? As Jesus instituted, began the Lord's Supper that we celebrate so often as Christians here in the 21st century, we also recognize the truth of the beginning. It's about God's relationship with us. God's relationship with us, and therefore our relationship with God. This is about our being close to God. It's about our relationship with Jesus. It It's about our relationship also one another. It's about taking things seriously, examining ourselves and recognizing what God is wanting to do in our lives. In a moment we break bread and we identify with Christ, with Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, and the fact that Christ will come again. Is that good news? I believe it is. But in the meantime, maybe right now, as we come to break bread, as you come to break bread in your homes, it's a time to stop. Stop on the mountain you are on, trying to deal with it on your own, and be real with God. And like Daisy, you might need lifting up and carrying for a while. God can do that. Stop trying to be the one who solves everything for yourself and for everyone around you, whilst inside you are broken and don't know how you can go on. Today, God invites you to stop and to be rescued. Come to break bread. We have that really simple song, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." And so we come to the communion table, our family meal. It would be often at the family meal we do a few items of family business. I'm going to just mention a few things. And we had a church meeting on Wednesday, and it was a great joy to have 6 new members. Now, normally I'd welcome them in with a right hand of fellowship and all that. And there's a few here that today who are new members. You are really welcome. I'm going to do the welcome when we've had time just to do a bit of a video catch-up so that everybody can see that happen, okay? So that will happen, but it's great to have you as members of the church, but I'd like to do everybody at the same time once we've got that in place. Jean and David Argent, congratulations on 55 years of married life. We pray God's blessing upon you. And Ken, I'm not going to embarrass you by saying that you've reached the 3 school years and 10 on Tuesday. People can work out what that works out at, but very happy birthday to you. And Rich and Sylvia, congratulations on your silver wedding anniversary yesterday. Congratulations. And I'm just going to say, Jemima, you are special to this church. We will pray for you in a moment. But it's great, you're making great progress. We come to communion. We come as people who are stopping and allowing God to rescue us. And we are invited to come together around this table from our homes, within this congregation, wherever we are, as those who belong to the household of Christ, brothers and sisters who in our baptized lives live out the death and resurrection of Jesus, the family of those reborn and the reconciled who inhabit a universe of grace. remembering the death and resurrection of the one who is our life and our meaning. We come first to die to all that is loveless and death-dealing in our lives. Jesus commands us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Brothers and sisters, we have not kept this commandment. May God forgive our godlessness and Christ intercede for us and one another, that God will light the fire of his love in our hearts. Jesus also commanded us to love our neighbours in the same way we love ourselves. We have been selfish, hard-hearted, and mean-spirited. May God forgive us, friends. May we pray that God's grace will melt and warm our hearts. The Lord has promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Desire this grace and this cleansing, for without it there is no hope for us. The Lord has warned that those who ask for forgiveness themselves must also practice forgiveness. We need to be prepared to be generous and forgiving to all who have hurt us and to let go of all bitterness. Help. Jesus is our peace. He has reconciled those who were divided through his body on a cross. He came to preach peace to everyone, far and near, because it is through him that we can all come to the Father in one spirit. Grace and peace to you all, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're unable to share the peace with one another as we would sometimes do, but in this silence, let's just bring to mind those from within our fellowship and just pray for peace. John is going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, John. that we are stopped on our mountain journey and allowing God to rescue us. Jesus promises to be with us always. And we acknowledge his presence with us here and now, wherever we are viewing this service. We thank God for his Spirit binding us together in a new hope-filled humanity. Fill us again, Lord, and empower us to live together in the peace of the gospel. And so Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is my blood shed for your forgiveness." As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Today, as we eat this bread, our symbols, our elements, and share the cup, we recognize God, our rescuer, coming to our aid. We'll have a video as we take time to take bread. Let us be thankful people. We continue as Haley leads us in a prayer of intercession. Thank you, Haley. Final hymn, "Before the throne of God above, I have..."